The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. How are you doing? As mentioned in the beginning, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. Part of my name is in that title. The whole thing's in the title. All names in the title. We couldn't figure out what to name the thing. I was originally going to call it the Becky Johnson Good Time Hour, but then I realized I'm not Becky Johnson. I don't think I can pass for her anymore. So I use my real name. Thank you. If you haven't seen this show before, I don't know why. I just talk about things that we all go through, but we don't really talk about it, so it becomes annoying. And that's it, man. I don't do interviews, no phone calls, not on this version. I do this every single weekday, have been for 30 years, either on broadcast radio for the first 20 years or on the podcast kind of internet highway thing for the past 10 or so years. And there you have it. So this is all I know how to do. I've done other things, but it's none of your business, to be honest with you. I owned another company and it was pretty cool. But now I'm just doing this. God, you ask a lot of questions. Okay? Let's get started. I was watching television. They were talking about TED Talks, and I realized I don't know anybody named Ted. I don't. I know Teddy Roosevelt. I know him. Not personally. I'm not that old. Teddy Bear, the thing the kids play with. But other than that, I don't know any Teds. So I don't know why when someone's talking and their name is Ted, I've got to listen to this. I looked it up on the International Highway of Information, and I found out that it's not really a guy named Ted who's giving the talks. By the way, TED Talks are typically incredibly boring, but you listen to it because you feel like you should. But in the long run, when it's over, it's like, why did I sit through this? You know what I mean? TED is actually stands for something. It stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. I don't understand it either. It's the weirdest combination of subjects I've ever heard. Yeah, we're going to have someone talk about technology and entertainment and design. What? Why? How do those things? It's the only words we can come up with that spell TED. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's like Bed Bath & Beyond. I mean, remember that? Remember Bed Bath & Beyond went out of business recently, not because of anything they did wrong. It was their branding that really made a mess. I've talked about this before. They opened it up as a bed store. They sold bedding, sheets and blankets and things for the bedroom, but oddly enough, no beds. So even there, they started off wrong with their branding on that store. Bed, there's no bed. Bath, yeah, they've got some washcloths and some soap containers and some pillowcases, but there's, that's the bed thing. there's no shampoo and there's no bathtub. So like, all right, now we got bed and bath. No, Ron, they're bed and bath accessories. Oh, then say that. Say that. If I was looking for a bed or a bathtub, I'd go to bed or bath, the bed and bath. But they don't have those things, just the accessories for them. Oh, okay, fine. So you don't sell the stuff, just the stuff that goes with the stuff, but you still call the name of your store bed and bath. And then they realize, well, we're being a little specific here. We don't even sell beds nor bathtubs, so we got to expand our title here and sell some other stuff. Like, you know, we sell some spatulas and some silverware and some plates. So, like, it's kitchen. How about bed, bath, and kitchen? Now we're getting onto that same train of specifics. And it gets crazy then. So let's do Bed Bath and, oh God, just Beyond that. Oh, great name, Bed Bath and Beyond. Okay, so now you're specifying that you got bed items, you got bath items, and what the hell, everything else, anything beyond that. Two specifics and then an incredible universal general thing. It just didn't work for them. Poor Bed Bath & Beyond people. They were doing so well, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh. The other problem they had, a similar situation, it was marketing and branding. Yeah, every month they would send anybody that they knew had come into the store before, they would send them a coupon in the mail or online. You know this online thing? And it would be your Bed and Bath discount coupon, usually for 20% off. See, when you do that all the time on a regular basis, what you're saying is, don't come into the store unless you got a coupon. Don't even bother, because only idiots are going to pay full price because everybody else has got a 20% off coupon. You're an idiot. If you go to the register and you pay full price and you don't have a coupon, you're an idiot. That was the marketing. It just made no sense. It didn't. And if you didn't have a coupon, then, you know, you would say to the I don't have a coupon. And instead of saying, okay, here's a coupon, they'd say, well, sorry. Why don't you just make everything in the store 20% off to begin with, or lower the prices by 20% and stop mailing out coupons? It just was so confusing. It so much didn't work. And then they had a registry going on for a while. Like if someone is getting married, they want a soap dispenser. I don't know. It didn't work out for them. And then came their final nail in the coffin, so to speak. They started giving stuff away because they were closing the stores, so they wanted to clear everything out of there. And they couldn't give it away. I mean, even then, nobody came into the store. It was just crazy. It was crazy. It's like Domino's Pizza. You think I'm going to pay full price for a pizza when you got all these coupons floating around? No, yeah, I'd have to be an idiot. Sometimes when you market incorrectly, it turns around and bites you in the behind, you know what I mean? I think that's what's happening there. Oh, I got to tell you something. Just between you and me, all right, listen to me. I got a call last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. There is never a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning that's going to be good. Somebody is sick or died or is in some type of horrible trouble or panic. You don't call somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning just to say, hey, I was just thinking of you, thought I'd give you a call. If someone does that, it's because they're drunk. And I think we all have friends like that, don't we? Oh, okay. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone's ringing, and oh my God, uh-oh, I better answer that. Oh my God, 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone's ringing. And I pick up the phone, and it's a call from the United States Capitol. What did I do? That's the United States Capitol, and it's a Republican representative, one of the Congress people there, and says, is this Ron Van Dam? I said, yes, my God, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. What's going on? I get a call from the government at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. He said, look, we've been talking here amongst ourselves, us Republicans. We know that you're not necessarily a Republican, but we want to know, would you mind running for Speaker of the House? I said, what? Are you serious? You can't find anybody in Congress now that wants to run for Speaker of the House? Because you've had no Speaker for over a month now, just about. No, nobody wants to do it, Ron. So we figured you might want to do it. No, I don't want to do it. And besides, I have a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. I can't go. No, I don't. Stop it. Man. It's government, I'm telling you. When it comes to the point where they have to call me, you know something's wrong. I think there's probably somebody watching this show who's probably saying, Ron, did they really call you? All right, come on. You see my T-shirt? You see this? I'm a member of the National Sarcasm Society, okay? This is my official shirt. It's official. I had a guest on my program. I do interviews on my regular daily talk show. You can listen to it, by the way, by going to newenglandbroadcasting.com or ronvandam.com or any of the platforms, the Apple Podcasts, the Stitcher, Spotify, Shopify, Glorify, Stoptide, all those things, Amazon Music, Pandora, everything. Qualify, Baptai, Fashtai, all those things. Anyway, I interview experts on things basically on every show. And I was talking to a vet. And I said, oh my God, thank you for your service. And he said, no, I'm a veterinarian. I said, oh, geez, I make this mistake all the time. I said, well, you're a veterinarian and you take care of dogs and cats and animals. Thank you for your service anyway. I do appreciate that. And the interview was about brushing your dog's teeth. Well, how many of you, by a show of hands, how many of you brush your dog's teeth every single day? Nobody, huh? A survey was taken, apparently, according to this dentist, and they found that 98% of pet owners, dog, cat, you name it, do not brush their dog's teeth ever. They depend on the groomer if they have one to do it. Otherwise, maybe the veterinarian. Other than that, dogs ain't getting no dental care. And as you probably know, when a dog gets older, there's a lot of black plaque that starts building up on their teeth. It's absolutely disgusting. It's expensive to rectify, if it can be at all. The dog's in pain. Nobody's happy. So the veterinarian is saying you've got to brush your dog's teeth on a regular basis. Ideally, get this, and I'm not kidding you. Ideally, the veterinarian says you should be brushing your dog's teeth 3 times a day. What? I don't know people that do that. Nobody brushes their teeth 3 times a day unless they're fastidious, and those are quite obvious anal people. Once a day is probably good. Twice a day when you get up before you go to bed, that's probably ideal. But the dog, you know, well, come on. 3 times a day for a dog? Cut it out. Well, Ron, yeah, because the dog's using his or her teeth all day with chewing and saliva and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but I'm not brushing my dog's teeth. You think my dog just says, okay, come at me. So he said, well, Ron, you don't actually get a toothbrush for the dog, although we do make them. And there is special toothpaste for dogs, by the way. What we do is, which you get one of these little rubber plastic thimbles that you put on your index finger. So it's like a rubber tip, you know. And then you put that in the dog's mouth, and the dog usually doesn't mind it. Okay, fine. I got to tell you something, though, veterinarian man. If you came at me with your index finger and shoved it in my mouth and started moving your hand back and forth on my teeth, I might bite you. I just might bite you. So I don't get it, but now I'm very conscious of this, and I started looking for dog toothpaste. I found it, and I tried giving my dog a thimble brushing. And my dog, oddly enough, said, no, you're not doing that again. I'm sorry. That ain't happening. I ain't standing still for you or anybody. So that's about it for the dental dog treatment thing. But I tell you, this is what was said to me by the veterinarian. 3 times a day, brush your dog's teeth. I couldn't help but hold in the laughter. I don't know. You know, they also, we were talking about Bed Bath and beyond, just beyond. Bed Bath and everything else. I don't care anymore. We're talking about that. Buffalo Wild Wings in the area in which I live is no longer there. That shut down, and I don't know if they have places otherwise. I'm not sure. Don't go by me, certainly. But I've seen quite a few of them closed. And, you know, I said to myself, I don't think that really worked. I kind of get it. Wings are a thing, you know, it's a thing. People eating wings and enjoying wings as a football snack or a party thing or whatever the case may be. But then I thought an entire restaurant chain and your specialty are tiny little wings. Your specialty is the part of the chicken that has the least meat on it. There's not much going on with a chicken wing. A chicken gets more use out of the wing than you do. There ain't a lot happening on the wing. It's not like you can sit down, put a bib on, get a knife and fork, and chow down on a wing. It doesn't work like that. And think of all the work you have to do. You have to pluck the chicken first. It's a lot of work. Just the plucking itself is difficult. and then on top of that, you know, okay, wings, all right, fine, whatever. How about the buffalo type? Buffaloes don't have wings. What are you talking about? And then I learned, well, it might be buffalo flavoring, which is a spicier kind of seasoning. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I've never chowed down on a buffalo before, but I don't think they're too spicy. And no, Ron, that's not the point. I think the idea came from people who lived in Buffalo. Look, no matter how you slice it, this is a ridiculous concept. So the chicken wing thing, I never understood that. I've had chicken wings before, and to be honest with you, I'm still hungry. There's not a lot going on there. The only thing that might be tasty is the sauce that you put on the thing that has no meat on it, basically. So you're sucking sauce. So perhaps they should have named that restaurant chain Suckin' Sauce. Buffalo Suckin' Sauce. I don't know, but it didn't work out. Kmart didn't do too well. Remember them? Do you remember Kmart? Are you old enough? Are you a Generation P? I'm Generation P at least once or twice a night. Generation X? Whatever. I don't know what you're called. Generation W? You probably never heard of Kmart. It was also a thing called a K-car. I think Chrysler made that model. I'm not sure. I don't recall. But that didn't work either. I think anything with a K in front of it probably doesn't work. Do you ever hear the organization Cars for Kids? You donate your car and it benefits kids. Problem is they spell cars with a K. Okay, we're not saying too much about the kids now, are we? Donate your car to an organization that doesn't know how to spell car. Okay. Yeah, but Ron, kids has a K in it and cars has a C. So now we're being cute. No, you're not being cute. You're being illiterate. You can't spell. That's the end of the story there. Anyway, fine organization, by the way. So there was a Kmart. It was a department store, very similar to Walmart, but not quite. And Kmart had very, very low prices. I remember going to a few Kmarts in the area when I was younger. They had a thing called a Blue Light Special. And it sounds like it's a luncheon special. Come down to Blue Light Special. We got chicken salad sandwiches, a bag of chips, and a fountain drink for $9.95. It's our Blue Light Special. But it's not that. They would take any item in the store, and if they were doing a clearance for something, they would have this blue light on the top of a large pole embedded into a shopping cart. And every once in a while, this light would start flashing like a police siren or something. And there'd be someone over the loudspeaker saying, aisle 7, Blue light special, woman's panties, $10, blue light special. And the siren go off and everybody would go running down there in order to pick up their clearance item of the blue light special panties or something like that. I have no idea what it was. It was just funny. It was entertaining. It was stupid, but it was entertaining. Women's clothing, you know, I was thinking about that, not in a bad way. And I was thinking, you know, they define their clothing, but only part of the definition works. For example, a woman, you don't say a shirt, you call it a top. It's a top. Let's get it like really generic. You put it on the top of your body, it's called a top. We sell you tops. We've got plenty of tops. Where's the top department? It's over there. Women's tops are over there. All sizes of women's tops. All different tops that you put on your top. But they don't have women's bottoms. They got plenty of tops, all different kinds of tops. But they don't market the other part as bottoms. Hey, come on in. You got a clearance on bottoms. It's just different. There's no bottom section. A woman doesn't say to her friend, hey, that's a very nice bottom you have. No, it's a very nice top you have. But not. We don't refer to the thing as bottoms. Women also have another problem, and you might want to get the kids out of the room because this could be a bit sexual, but it's not too bad, but it's just honestly what it is. Went to a cocktail mixer. Used to go to them all the time with the business that I'm in the media. I get invited to these cocktail receptions to receive the cocktails. And they're usually business organization meetings, that kind of thing, where you hobnob with other businesses and you schmooze and you make connections and things like that. And in order to identify everybody, they have these little name tags. And it says on the top of it, generically, my name is, this is like kindergarten or nursery school, my name is, and under that, your name, and under that, the name of the business in which you are affiliated and employed. So that when you're meeting somebody, they can call you by name and know where you've come from. And they do this at every single one. And usually the person who's filling out these little name tag things has horrible, horrible handwriting. So even though your name's on the tag, people go, hello, booty, booty. Oh, Betty, I'm sorry. I can't read the thing. And you're with the International Annoyance Society? Alliance Society. I am so sorry. Who wrote this stuff on the labels? So men, not so much of a problem because they are usually wearing jackets, suit jackets, something like that, and they have lapels. And the badge goes right on the lapel, right on the lapel, on the left lapel. And people, when they're talking to you, they look at your lapel on your jacket and they can tell what it is. Is it lapel or lapel? It's the lapel. Lapel. Women, different. And it puts men in a very awkward situation. Women usually don't wear jackets. They wear tops. They wear dresses, which are tops and bottoms. So they don't have jacket lapels for the most part. So where do they put their name tags? Just above their left boob. And I'm telling you, that's where it goes. That's the international place that you put these labels. So when a guy walks up to a female business person in a cocktail reception, the only way you're going to know their name or who they work for is to stare just a smidgen above their left boob. It's awkward. It's just really awkward. You expect her to say, what are you staring at? I'm trying to look at your name, booby. I'm Betty. Again, the handwriting. They make life difficult for men. Men are like in trouble no matter what to begin with, because men are basically known as pigs and slobs. And I got to tell you, I'm a guy. I kind of agree with you. I kind of do. I don't think men look in the mirror much ever. And women, it's the opposite. They like can't tear themselves away. Men don't. No. Women's wardrobe is extensive. Extensive. They can wear all different colors, patterns, all kind. There's like all kinds of clothes and different types of garments and different types of tops. It's amazing. Scarves and sleeves and nose sleeves and skirts and dresses and pants and all. It's just like, and shoes, man. There's sneakers and shoes and heels and Crocs and schmucks and there's just loafers and scofers. There's tons of things they can wear. A guy, pants, and a shirt, we're done. If you're in business and you wear a suit every day, you probably only got like two or three suits. So all you can do is just change your tie. Bob, you wearing a different tie? You bet I am. It's the only thing I have that's different. Same shoes every day of your life. Same pair of pants every day of your life. There isn't much variety going on. Really? Bob, didn't you wear like a black shirt yesterday? No, that was blue. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's all I got. It's just a whole different ball game, man. It's a very strange world. And it's getting stranger by the minute, right? I kind of wish in our closing moments here that our country here, the American thing, would get it together, man. It's not looking really good for us here. We can't even do Congress anymore. We can't decide who's going to run the House of Representatives. Nobody's really qualified or wants to do it or gets enough votes to become it. That's why they call me at 2:00 in the morning. It's embarrassing. One party's out to destroy the other party. That's their reason for being, not to help the country. It's kind of awkward. It's kind of strange. What the hell's going on here? You got two wars going on and a lot of problems. A lot of problems, and half of our Congress isn't doing anything at all. It's very, very odd. It's very odd. We got some strange rules in this country. You know, if you're in jail or felon, you can't vote in an election, but you can become president. Not saying he is, probably will be. Not president, a felon. It's just, I mean, people outside of this country must be saying, okay, democracy, that worked for you for a while. Apparently, you guys aren't getting this together, are you? You're just out to destroy yourselves, doing the work for us. Russia and China, Iran, North Korea, they're sitting back going, we don't have to do a damn thing. They're destroying themselves. This is pretty cool. We've been telling the globe that democracy doesn't work. See? Let's get it together. Let's make it work. Oh my God, what's wrong with us? Or you, or them? Turn that corner really fast. Stop trying to destroy ourselves from within. That ain't working. That's like a football team that fumbles all the time, and then you say, I wonder why we're not winning. The other teams think we're stupid. That's because you are. Change your game. Change your game. Or at least start playing. Have yourselves a wonderful week. I'll be back next time. Until then, I wish you peace.